This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to talk some baseball here with RJ Anderson, CBS Sports MLB writer. The hot stove. RJ, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy. The hot stove is at a nice little simmer right now, and it's bubbling, and everyone's excited. I feel maybe it's recency bias, RJ. Do you feel like this one's more exciting than last year's kind of debacle?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I think you can say it's been the most exciting of the past three so far.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what's causing that, but you know, seeing a guy like Zach Wheeler get over $100 million is an encouraging sign. So it seems like things are happening, and it's a welcome sign after the last two dull winters we had.
And when it came down yesterday, I think a lot of people were really surprised at the amount of money. I can't say that anything really surprises me anymore when it pertains to baseball salaries. My initial thought was, oh, good fit, and it's a lot of money, but I think he's a really good pitcher.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of untapped potential, and you know, that's something I've heard from executives and all dating back to the trade deadline, is that this is a guy who has a high velocity, high spin fastball. He has a couple swing and miss secondaries. He throws strikes, and yeah, there are health concerns, but you know, getting him away from that Mets defense, that Mets coaching staff, you know, they're a poor situation behind the plate. You can potentially see him, you know, have his best years ahead of him, which is not something you can always say about a free agent starting pitcher.
And RJ, do you think the Mets, I mean, obviously looking back, hindsight 2020, they're idiots for not trading him at the deadline last year. They could have gotten a really good return for him. He was hurt though, wasn't he?
He got hurt right around the deadline.
He got hurt around the deadline. They still could have traded him, but I think it would have hurt his value. But now they got nothing but a draft pick back for him. I in my opinion, don't think they were. They probably knew they weren't going to re-sign him in the offseason. They had other fish to fry. They probably should have moved him at the deadline, right?
Yeah, it just depends on what they were offered. I mean, we've seen in the past some of these deals where, you know, a pitcher is injured and you kind of set up this deal where it's based on the return is based on how many times he starts or how many times he appears or what have you. And you know, sometimes I can think back to when the Rays acquired Jesse Crane a few deadlines ago. The deal was based on, you know, how many times he appeared. Well, he never appeared for the Rays. You know, he missed the rest of the season with injury. So there would have been risk on both sides, but I was a little surprised that they didn't look to move him. But at the same time, you know, the Mets were trying to make a run, and you know, maybe that's something that should be applauded based on how many teams seem content to not make runs or not try at all these days.
That's a very, very good point. We're talking to RJ Anderson, MLB writer for CBS Sports. And RJ, the Houston Astros thing has kind of, I don't want to say it's blown over because it hasn't. I know they're still diving into everything that's gone on in the cheating scandal. Are you hearing anything new on that front? Because I haven't seen much in the last week or so.
No, it has kind of died down, but I don't know if that's because, you know, MLB is just digging in and the investigation's ongoing and, you know, they're kind of trying to keep things quiet and there hasn't been a ton of leaks, or it's because we're all kind of focused now on free agency and trades and the league is actually giving us other stuff to talk about. So could be a combination thereof, but honestly, you know, that trail has went cold the last week or two.
So RJ, obviously the Yankees have met with Gerrit Cole, they met with Steven Strasburg. Everything we're hearing about these, saying these meetings go well, it seems like every time we hear about any meeting, but with any team and a player, oh, it went great. Do you think the Yankees legitimately are going to get one of these two guys?
You know, I don't know. I think that there's a fair chance they get one of them, but, you know, entering the offseason, the expectation with Gerrit Cole was that the Los Angeles Angels were going to make him the highest offer.
Yep.
And, you know, you hear these murmurs about him having a preference for the West Coast, what have you. I think that, you know, you kind of line up the dots there and it makes a lot of sense for them to sign Cole. As for Strasburg, you know, it's just hard to see Mike Rizzo and the Lerner family allowing both Strasburg and Rendon to leave. And it feels like Strasburg's more likely to re-sign just because, I don't know, the Nationals are like the one team over the past few winters who have shown a willingness to throw these humongous contracts at free agents starting pitchers. And it's hard to see them, you know, letting the World Series MVP leave after he just, you know, basically willed them to a championship. So I'm not sure that I would bet on the Yankees getting either one of them, or I wouldn't position the Yankees as the favorite for either one of them, but I do think there's a fair chance they'll end this win or lose at least one of them.
All right, talking to RJ Anderson, CBS Sports MLB writer. So our Padres have been pretty active. I mean, and the moves that they've made, while they're not, you know, massive moves, I think they've been solid. What's the kind of the national perspective on what the Padres are up to, and is there a lot of buzz about the potential of them doing more?
Oh, yeah, the expectation is they're not finished. You know, they're probably going to spend some money, and they're probably going to make some more trades. And it's been an interesting winter, as you said. You know, the Drew Pomeranz signing, I kind of like that a lot. I think that, you know, he's going to be a good relief pitcher for them. You saw what he did with Milwaukee. You know, he really tuned up his fastball, and he's got one of those fastballs that plays up in the zone, and yep. He can go out there and overpower guys. So I think that was a nifty signing. You know, I didn't think the money was outrageous or anything like that. And that's for, you know, the Urias trade. That one caught me a little surprising, caught me as a surprise, because, you know, at the deadline, there was talk about them using him to get a front-of-the-rotation starter.
Yeah, Cindergaard like was Davies, the name, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I like Zach Davies, and I think he's underrated because he's not physically imposing. He doesn't have, you know, a big fastball or anything. I don't consider him a front-of-the-rotation starter. And I also like Grisham. I mean, this is a guy who basically saved his career over the last year, and I think it's unfortunate that he's going to be known as the guy who made the mistake in the wild card game, because yep. He has really improved his stock over the past 12 months. You know, he's always had a good eye at the plate. He's tapped into some raw power. He's become a little more aggressive, and I think that he has a chance to be a most day starting outfielder. So I think that deal could still work out for them, but I will say it was a little surprising, and I felt a little underwhelming when I first saw the full results of that trade.
So we also had the Cole Hamels signing yesterday, which frankly I thought was a great signing by the Braves with all those young pitchers, with Soroka, Teron, Fried, and they, it seems like that Hamels had an underrated season last year with the Cubs. I thought in stretches he was great. What do you think about that signing? Put a veteran with that group.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And you know, Hamels' numbers suffered because he suffered. Well, that's great usage right there. Suffered twice in a 5-word span. But Hamels' numbers really dropped off after he suffered an oblique injury. And you kind of wonder, you know, did he rush back? Was he not 100% when he came back? Did he alter his mechanics somehow or what have you? But when you look at his overall numbers, they were still pretty solid. So I think this is a guy who he's probably going to be an above-average pitcher again. And like you said, you plug him into that rotation with Soroka and with Fried. And, you know, they have guys like Kyle Wright coming up through their system and Ian Anderson. And, yeah, they have a chance to have a pretty good rotation. And Atlanta, frankly, has won the offseason so far. You know, they were aggressive out of the gate getting Travis d'Arnaud and Will Smith and Chris Martin. You know, if you don't know these names, that's fine, but these guys are productive players and they got them on pretty good contracts, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do the rest of the way. You know, they need a third baseman, maybe Josh Donaldson, maybe the Anthony Rendon, maybe they go and trade for someone, I don't know. But you know, that Atlanta team looks pretty fierce, and it wouldn't surprise me, at least, if they repeat again as NL East champions.
Yeah, I loved the move as well. We are talking to RJ Anderson from CBS Sports, and while we've been on the phone, small move, but the Mets close to acquiring outfielder Jake Marisnyk from the Astros. He'll be reunited with Carlos Beltran. I believe they played together in Houston, banging on trash cans and whatnot together. Now they'll be playing for him in Houston. So, yeah, a lot of hot stove action. You going to be out at the winter meetings here in San Diego next week?
I am not, actually. We're sending video people out there, as well as my colleague Matt Snyder. So I'll be here in D.C. trying to brave the weather.
All right, man. Well, tell Matt Snyder to stop by the Ben and Woods table out there at the Hyatt, and we'd love to talk to him. We're going to be out there all next week. Really excited about that. But, RJ, thanks so much for your time this morning, man. Appreciate it.
Of course. Anytime.
All right, buddy. That's RJ Anderson, CBS Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.